One of the things that I'm a big believer in is the understanding is that there's two sides to the financial coin. One side of it is earning money. One side of it is keeping money. And I perceive most of you recognize that other than maybe your home living, and probably for me it's a lot more, the one area that will take most of your money throughout your entire life is not your food or your home, but the government. The taxes that they charge you for living in their beautiful place. I guess it's theirs. I guess they, since they charge for it, it must be their place, right? And, you know, that's the law, and we all have to abide by the law. The idea, however, is to abide by the law 1,000%, however, and utilize the law to assist you in saving the taxes you might normally pay if you were uninformed about certain opportunities. Does that make sense? Yes or no?
Yes.
So one of the things that I always wanted to bring and always feel it's imperative to bring to Millionaire School is if you're going to be a millionaire, you better understand taxation and you better understand how to save as much of that as possible. And again, we have both Americans and Canadians here, so you're right to both, right? So the person I'm going to bring up here has a huge tax and assurance consulting practice, emphasizing real estate, family businesses, high net worth individuals, mergers and acquisitions, reorganizations, joint ventures, financing the whole bit, and just a wealth of knowledge, works with some of the top people in the entire world, really, and his talk is called Beat the Tax Man. Are you ready to welcome Mr. Michael Louie? Come on up here.
I'm feeling a little pressure now after that. Okay. I have a very pretty broad talk today on taxes. And I want to start off. Taxes, as Harv mentioned, are very, very important part of our life. In Canada, I didn't bring the IRS or the Internal Revenue Code, but in Canada, we have a small tax act. 2,915 pages. The Internal Revenue Code is twice as big. Okay. So you may be leaning over the fence one day talking to your neighbor, and your neighbor says, you know, I've got this great tax plan that I think I'm going to do, and, you know, they're doing it, and I'm saving lots of money. And you say, then you come up to me, and you say, well, gee, my neighbor's doing this. Well, the problem with any tax plan is that it has to be unique to you. Everyone has their own tax plan. Okay? So you have to understand this, or you have to make sure you get good advice all about this. Now, just by show of hands, I understand there are some people from America here today. Just by show of hands, who's here from? Woo! Okay. Some of my talk will certainly, I'm going to try to point out the differences. I'm a Canadian tax expert, and I'll preface my remarks with that because I am not a U.S. tax expert. I'll say that I do have some U.S. tax understanding. Typically, most of my clients are Canadian-based, and they do expand to the United States, so I do help them out in terms of getting down to the States and minimizing their taxes down there. So, as Harv said, my talk today is Beat the Tax Man. Loopholes. That's always something that everyone's searching for and seeking. Unfortunately, you've heard of the loopholes large enough to drive a truck through. Unfortunately, they don't exist anymore. That's why they've made two volumes of the Internal Revenue Code and one volume for the Canadian Tax Act. That, actually, is only the tip of the iceberg. There are probably libraries. We actually have CD-ROMs with about 6 gigabytes of information on them with court cases, administrative positions, and the IRS does very much the same. So, loopholes, having said all that, still exist. I'll give you a little bit of history, not that I was born then, but 1917, the Tax Act came out in Canada, and it said, you'll pay 17% on your income. Well, the problem was the very creative people out there started to figure out what is income and what is not income. And so they then had to start putting in new rules and get more and more complex. And in fact, about 2/3 of the Tax Act is directly related to small businesses or private businesses, not big public companies. So all these creative tax planners, myself included hopefully, found areas that were still not specifically addressed by the Tax Act, places where you could save tax money. So I've alluded to singles versus home runs. Nowadays in the tax world, you're not going to save millions of dollars. I try and make it in tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. If we make a million, that's great, but typically it's going to be singles as opposed to big home runs. If somebody says, I've got the greatest scheme, you're going to make 50% per year offshore. I'll talk a little bit about offshore later. If you make it offshore and you don't have to worry about it, I think something might be wrong there. Hopefully none of these guys are selling it, but I don't think that's the case. Okay. So the top 10. First off, what I'm going to ask everyone is hopefully you've brought some sort of pen and paper, and my objective today is that everyone walks away with two or three ideas, something that'll apply specifically to you. So I don't think everything I'm going to talk about today is going to apply to everybody, but hopefully you'll take a few points away. So little known tax deductions, things that people don't think about. Second is tax efficient investing, where to place your investments. That's a very important factor in terms of making sure you maximize your after-tax rate of return. Taxes in the States, 35%. And I'll talk a little bit later about estate tax, which is the next one. Estate tax in the States, 45%. So I'll contrast and compare the difference between Canada and the US. Canada, they tax you as you go. So we pay in BC, 43%. In Alberta, I'll talk a little bit about Alberta later, 40%. In the States, as long as you live somewhere other than California, it's around 35%, and in California, it's approaching actually 40%. Gulp. So tax-efficient investing is very important. Death and taxes. Unfortunately, it's an inevitability. It's a cliche phrase, but it is true. And in the United States, they tax you relatively lower as you earn your money, but they get you when you go. Good news is that at least there is proposals to eliminate the whole estate tax regime by 2010. Editorial comment, George Bush may look at his current budget and costs of various venues that he is entering and find that he may not be able to balance the budget over the long term. So I'm not sure if that whole elimination of the estate tax, that's just my editorial comment, if that's going to really happen by 2010. It's a very slow phase out, very, very slow. Number five is tax deferred plans, and those are items such as in Canada, RSPs and pension plans, and in the States, IRAs, 401ks, Roth plans. Number six, incorporating. A lot of people say, well, gee, should I incorporate? Hopefully I'll answer some of those questions as to whether or not you should. Seven, making bad debt good debt. That's not trying to turn something that's uncollectible into good debt. It's really trying to make sure that you're maximizing your tax deduction on interest that you're paying. Number eight, principal residences. This applies to both sides of the border. Thankfully, they introduced the principal residence exemption down in the States to the tune of $500,000. So I'll talk a little bit about that. Alberta, it truly is the tax haven of the North. Who's from Alberta here? And smiling too, I'm sure. Lastly, and of most interest to many people, is going offshore. Not for the faint of heart, and not for everybody, but it can be for some people, and in fact, in some cases, tax rates as low as 2.5%. Little known tax deductions. The first question you have to ask yourself is the expense or expenditure that you're making business related? And what does that mean? First of all, you have to be running a business. So for those in, say, the network marketing business, you have a pretty broad range of deductions that you can take. I'll talk about some of them specifically, but if you think about, say, network marketing, what kind of expenses are appropriate? Well, first of all, you're trying to build a business. So you're trying to get your downline people on board, and you're having to meet a lot of people. Well, you have to perhaps go out for meals. You may have to go out for drinks. Or something to, or have coffee, just to get along and try and get them on board. Well, certainly, I would suggest that all of those are going to be deductible. You have to get in your car and drive all the rounds. Well, then certainly your car is going to be deductible. I didn't even touch on that today because these are all the obvious points. A lot of people don't think about that. So the first thing you have to really think about is what is what I'm spending deductible? I try to be a pragmatic accountant. A lot of people say, well, gee, should I, when they first start a business, whether it's a network marketing or another type of business, they'll say, well, should I get some software to keep track of all my business expenses? And I say, no, no, no. I like the three envelope system or four envelope system. Very simple. Just get four envelopes, label them, and you just kind of keep track of them. And I'll tell you, as you go through and you just pop your little invoices into the envelopes, by the end of the year, you'll find that you have $3,000 to $10,000 of deductions. Tax savings, $1,200 to $4,000. Doesn't take any work as you go through the piece. If you wait until the very end of the year and you try to do that, you're scratching your head saying, well, I need some parking receipts, I need some money. It's very difficult for you to try to gather up that information. The 100% deductible meal, I mentioned meals. In Canada, the meals, actually in the States as well, both meals and entertainment are not fully deductible. I'm sure people are aware of that. The IRS and Revenue Canada say that there is some level of personal enjoyment. Who says when they go out for a meal, they're actually enjoying it? Well, yeah. Well, if you're getting some personal enjoyment, they say in Canada, this arbitrary 50%, because you're usually taking out somebody else, 50% is only deductible. So much the same in the States as well. Used to be 80, down to 50. I guess less enjoyable meal, or you're enjoying your meals more than you used to. I'm not sure. Gifts to employees. Now, this is a Canadian tax rule, but there was a recent interpretation from Revenue Canada that said, if you have a business, you can give a gift to your employee, and they're not going to be taxed on it, up to $500 twice per year. It used to be $100 once per year, and I don't know much what you can get in terms of gifts for $100 nowadays, so Revenue Canada, in their generosity, decided to increase that to $500. Home office. Those who are running businesses, this applies both in Canada and in the United States, home office deductions are a deductible expense. But that doesn't mean you can write off everything related to your house. You have to take your house, imagine that there's various parts to it, your living room, your dining room, your kitchen, but then you have your office. And sometimes you may be meeting people in your living room, so your office may be larger than just the room where you have your computer, for example. And simply put, you just take your square footage of the office and take the proportion of the square footage of your office over the house, and you can deduct the whole amount. Anything related to running the house. And what does that include? It includes things such as mortgage interest and property taxes, insurance. And you'll be surprised, very surprised, that the house expense is no less than $2,000 to $6,000. So what does that mean again in dollars? $800 to $2,400 of tax savings. So that's certainly significant, and a lot of people do not take that. The one caveat on that is if you're not profitable in your business, or you can only take a deduction to bring your profits down to zero for home office expense. You can't increase a loss with your home office expense. Moving expenses. Who's moved here recently? A few people. Well, there's a couple. The moving expenses, both in Canada and the United States, are pretty much the same. It's your standard moving costs of your trailer or your moving company, etc. The big ones, the big hits, particularly in Canada, are if you have commissions on selling your house, unless you got the deal that was offered today. But the commissions on selling your house are a deductible moving expense, as well as the purchase costs, legal and property purchase tax, if you have to pay that, registration fees, of the house that you purchase. And in some cases, people have not been aware of that, and it's been as much as $10,000 or $15,000 for those expenses, and those are all deductible. Travel. I often get the question, what kind of travel is going to be deductible? And, you know, I've gone to Hawaii and done a few so-called business things. Well, I'd say you have to go back to the general rule. Is it related to the business? And here's the secret. Are there any Revenue Canada people here, by the way? I just wanted. Would they admit to it? Travel can be deductible if you set yourself up correctly. And here's what I suggest. What you should do is before you go on your business trip, you should write a letter to your business colleague in the location that you're going to, whether it's a warm and sunny climb or otherwise, and write to them and say, I'm coming down, I'd be very pleased to have a business meeting. Of course, keep a copy in your file. When you get down there, take photographs, get a business card, all those type of things to show that you actually were conducting business in that locale. And if ultimately you do business, that's great. Come back, write a thank you letter, and say, it was great meeting you, look forward to doing some business with you. Put that all in your file and forget it. If Revenue Canada or the IRS ever come along and look at it, well, you'd say, well, I was meaning to do business. It was all business related to this, whatever business you're in. I'll tell you that that has saved a number of people some big costs when they went on a trip. The one proviso that I'd say to that is if you're going on a cruise. Okay, I'll tell you why. Both the IRS and Revenue Canada take a very dim view of cruises. The IRS has the view that if you're conducting business out of the continental United States, that you're not allowed to deduct it, generally speaking. And so they say a cruise ship is outside of the United States, therefore not deductible. And the same thing holds true for Canada. I actually looked at it for a group that are sending, I think about, they're taking over a boat, so about 1,400 people are going. They're all hanging in the balance to see whether or not it's deductible. And unfortunately, from the Revenue Canada's perspective, actually, they're called Canada Customs and Revenue Agency now, but Revenue Canada's view is that not deductible. It's outside of Canada. So the question was whether or not it falls under the gift, and no. It wouldn't. So even if one person gave it to another person, I think that scheme would probably be squished if you got caught. The other expense that's quite commonly overlooked is computer, and that's all of your costs of running your computer, purchasing your computer, and internet, etc. Here's the big question, and our computer guy probably can attest to this. Computers are now pretty much a throwaway commodity. You buy them, 2 years later, they are virtually obsolete. So the question is, when you buy your new $3,000 Pentium 8 a couple years down the road, what do you do with that $3,000 expenditure? Well, depending on the size of your business, I think there's a reasonable argument to actually write it off. Because otherwise, in the proper, what you're supposed to do is actually capitalize it and depreciate it. And they give you very generous depreciation, which takes about 10 years to write off a computer. How many people have a 10-year-old computer here? Don't put up your hands. Time for a new one. Because I'll tell you, no computer lasts 10 years, although the IRS and Revenue Canada say it's going to last 10 years for you. So go figure.